15 minutes after 3 o'clock, as we say, happy Mother's Day and good afternoon to the host of Mental Health Matters. Good afternoon to Mrs. Tessa Chatterton Shaw. Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you today?
Hi, Oliver. I'm doing well. It's Mother's Day. What can I say? For me, every day is Mother's Day.
Beautiful.
I am delighted to be the host, and just let me extend warmest wishes and blessings to all mothers, both biological and non-biological, because mothers never stop. They never stop nurturing, caring, loving, supporting. We are doctors and nurses and everything in between. So I also want to wish my guest, Dr. Ford, a very happy Mother's Day. So allow me to welcome all listeners in Barbados and across the diaspora, and we continue on our journey in terms of unraveling the multiple issues, the multidisciplinary field of psychiatry, psychology, social work, but at the end of the day, we're looking at our mental wellness and mental well-being. I am really delighted with the feedback I've been getting, both personally, but just people stopping me and saying, I heard it, I love it, keep it going. So I wish to thank VOB, especially, and to SagiCorps, the sponsor of the next four programs for the month of May. So I have the distinct pleasure, and it is indeed lovely to have a lady as my guest. Her name is Dr. Deanne Ford, Ford without an E, by the way. She is a counseling and educational psychologist and is the current president of the Barbados Society of Psychology. Dr. Ford is a former tutor and lecturer at Erdiston Teachers College and at the UE Cave Hill campus. She has been an educator for 48 years. She has taught at all levels of the educational system and is a qualified online tutor. I may need to get a few lessons from you. Her research interests are very varied and very interesting: albinism, adolescence, domestic violence, and aging. Those are her particular interests. In her private practice, she deals with family situations and relationship issues. She's a Trinidadian who has been living here for 42 years and is married to Barbadian Robin Ford, may I say, the current president of Rotary Club of Barbados, and they are the parents of three adults. She is also a devout Roman Catholic. Dr. Ford, welcome. Welcome. I hope the gentlemen in your life have celebrated you and treated you and given you a wonderful day so far. Well, you said three adults. I'm not sure if they're all males or, but you can jump in right now, but I hope your day so far has gone well. I just got a nice cup of cappuccino from my daughter and a lovely slice of cake and a beautiful card, and I'm happy with this.
Thank you very much, Tessa. Hello, everyone. Good evening. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, those who mentored young people, fathers who take the role of mothers, but happy Mother's Day nonetheless. Yes, Tessa, my boys were with me today, my husband and my son, who lives overseas, but he's here. They have spoiled me for the day so far. And I also have two beautiful daughters. So that answers your question.
Fantastic.
I'm extremely happy to be on this program. And I have to commend you and your sponsors for running this series.
Thank you, Deanne. So without further ado, because believe it or not, this hour goes by really quickly. If Oliver is kind to us, and depending on the callers, we may go past 4:15 because we're starting later today. So let me just get straight to the point. You are president of the Barbados Society of Psychology. Could you tell us about the role of and the mandate of this organization? What does it do?
Our role really, and most important, I would say, is to further the development of psychology as a professional discipline in Barbados and by extension, the Caribbean. Our mandate is much wider than that. We are the watchdog. We are here to maintain and protect the code of professional ethics and standards in research and the practice of psychology in Barbados. We seek to serve as a forum for exchange of ideas and dissemination of psychological information among members of the public, I guess as we are doing today. We also seek to develop relationships with other organizations and the community to respond appropriately to external requests for information and assistance. And not finally, but it is good to note that the varying subfields of psychology prepares us to deal with career guidance, work-related stressors, and motivational issues. And that's just to say, the 21-year-old organization of which I'm the president, these are some of the things that our vision is based on.
Wow, I didn't realize it had such a long history, 21 years.
We celebrated 20 last year. This year we are 21.
Fantastic.
Coming of age.
Yeah. Do you have a physical location, or are you guys meeting by Zoom?
Over the past 2 years, we've been meeting on Zoom. No, we do not have a physical location. We really have, in the past 20 years, been treated really kindly by the university, where we use their conference room sometimes, by the clinical skills building of the QEH, by one of the other buildings in the QEH, or the conference room of the Barbados Community College sometimes.
Okay.
Wherever is available and we can get it, we ask and we usually get it.
Nice. My last few programs have focused largely on psychiatry and psychiatrists. Could you distinguish for our audience the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist?
Yes, I'm glad for this opportunity, because sometimes people come to my office and they ask, are you a psychiatrist or a psychologist? So, you know, it's important that we understand the distinction. Psychiatrists and psychologists are both trained to treat patients with mental health issues. They provide patients with various treatments to manage struggles of everyday life. Both psychiatrists and psychologists are trained to practice psychotherapy, which is a treatment that involves talking with patients about their problems and offering methods to cope. However, and I think this is what puzzles most people, psychiatrists and psychologists have differences in background and training, and this means that they have different approaches to treatment. Let's say, for instance, a psychologist will focus on behavior and may ask patients to track sleep, eating habits, environmental stressors, and identify areas of concern there. The psychologist concentrates on the patient's mind and emotions and primary focus on thoughts, feelings, and life experience. The psychiatrist, on the other hand, so we were talking about the psychologist before. Now, the psychiatrists, on the other hand, who have extensively studied both biology and neurochemistry, focus on the chemical imbalances in the brain. And after making a diagnosis, the psychiatrist may prescribe medication that will alleviate that imbalance, or They may also evaluate any underlying medical condition that could be causing the underlying mental issue. So that's a big chunk, but I hope it helps people to understand maybe the basic difference.
So just to break it down into the nuts and bolts of it is,
right.
One is looking at the chemical imbalances in the brain and can prescribe medication. The psychologist does not prescribe medication, but is basically assisting the client in managing his or her life, looking at nutrition, looking at various aspects of their life to help them achieve optimum well-being.
Right. And yes, we do not prescribe medication because we do not study pharmacology.
Okay.
However, we work closely and in tandem with a GP or a psychiatrist who can and might find that if we diagnose something, a patient may do well on medication. So we recommend you go to your psychiatrist or you go to your GP. However, it must be noted that in the military, some psychologists are allowed to give medicine under the guidance of a GP or a psychiatrist for a specific diagnosis. And I researched and saw that three states, I think Hawaii, Illinois, and one of them might be Ohio, allow those who have the ability to. And I am not sure if these psychologists have studied pharmacology, but they can give certain medicines.
Wow. Okay. So there are many psychologists here in Barbados, but then there are those who have a PhD like you. What's the difference in training between those who, you know, the doctor of psychology versus the other psychologists, and do they offer the same type of treatment modalities, treatment plans, or is there a difference between the two?
Well, first of all, let me say, you said they are psychologists. The Caribbean is special, Barbados is special. We still allow students who have completed a master's in specific to Barbados now, in counseling, educational, or clinical psychology, to call themselves psychologists. All over the world, they are called counselors or therapists, because the requirement in UK and the US right now is that you must have a PsyD or a PhD. So the question was, what's the difference?
Right.
The PsyD is a doctor of psychology who is mainly a practitioner. This person work in clinics, offices, they interface with the public directly. They do clinical sales and they intervene and they give interventions, but their base is clinical psychology, and they have done clinical internship and they are called PsyDs. The PhDs, as you referred to, like myself, are more research oriented. We work more in schools and universities and institutions. And while those of us who have clinical psychology as a master's, at the master's level, and can function in a clinical setting, our main work as PhDs would be in institutions, schools, as researchers. We are expected to do a heavy research paper to complete the PhD.
Okay, just out of curiosity, what was your dissertation focused on?
Okay, so my research interest will tell you a clue. My research dissertation was on the attitudes and identification of albinism in the Caribbean.
Wow.
Specific to the Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome in albinism, which is actually the type 4 albinism. And it was a very personal research to me because I had a brother and a sister with albinism?
Okay, that is another subject that is perhaps stigmatized as well. We don't talk That's about right. it very much. But thank you for sharing that. Now, Oliver, you just signaled to me when you want to have a break with some music. But I want to ask, okay, so he's going to play my first selection. I believe it's Happy by Pharrell Williams. I love it.
And before we get to Happy, just want to remind the listeners that today's program of Mental Health Matters is brought to you with the kind compliments of Sagicor Financial Corporation.
Sometimes the things that tear us apart are the ones that unite us and bring us closer together. Sometimes the darkest night turns into a day so bright, leaving the scars and the pain, everything that we fear behind us. Keep on believing, keep holding on. So never give up through wind and storm, 'cause after the rain, there'll be a calm. Sunshine of a new day, it won't be long. Keep holding
on. A message from Sagicor.
From Pharrell Williams. Happy, 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 happy. As we want to say a special good afternoon and happy Mother's Day to Tessa Chatterton Shaw and her guests. Mrs. Shaw, I just wanted to let you know I do have some messages from some listeners who want me to extend a very happy Mother's Day to you, ma'am. You may have to unmute your microphone, young lady.
Sorry. Thank you for those messages. Do those persons wish to be identified, or I just will embrace the love?
Yes, I think they just want to share some love with you, ma'am.
Okay, great. So to continue, Deanne, I've often heard that the two professionals, psychiatrists and psychologists, must work together in terms of the treatment of clients, especially those with serious mental health challenges. I have to be honest, that has not been my experience based on people that I interact with. I don't get the sense that the two link up as they should. but help me understand this, or help the public understand what should really unfold in terms of, let's say, someone presenting with you know, bipolar disorder or chronic depression. And of course, we're in a COVID time. So how do the two professionals interlink? Because as I said, I am concerned about that.
Right. Well, but the truth is they are interlinked, inseparably so. In my own practice, I know that we work together. I myself work closely with at least four psychiatrists on the island. I also know that the Ministry of Education has a mental health wellness committee comprising of psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, and safety officers. I know, Tessa, that it is new. In the past, like 20 years ago, first of all, we only became a society 20 years ago.
Right.
So psychology itself and psychologists were not abounding as they are today. So a psychiatrist maybe was a standalone profession at the time. But I have to say, I think over the years, there has been that collaboration that it goes on, sometimes behind the scenes. The other thing that I think might be affecting the whole collaboration between the two fields is because they are mental health related, there is the stigma, which we have to talk about at some point in the show. There is the stigma. And I may say this without any apologies, you know, we have this thing about a psychologist. What are you going to a psychologist for? Well, when I tell you all my business, when you could talk to your neighbor, but your neighbor doesn't have a confidentiality clause. So then your business gone all over the place. In the past, I would say 10 to 15 years, people have recognized that a psychologist is trained in a particular way to do a particular thing to help you stay happy, as the song just said.
Right.
Because it's not every day we wake up happy. We have to strive to be happy.
Of course not. You said something very interesting at the outset when you were describing the mandate of the Barbados Society of Psychology. You spoke about ethics, which is very important. The whole question of confidentiality in a small society is a very serious matter. Yes. And I don't think that we fully get it. In a large cosmopolitan city, let's say Toronto or Montreal, you can be very anonymous and be, you're just one of millions of people in diverse, you know, with diverse communities.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, yes, how I understand that trepidation, that hesitation. But I think that maybe the public needs to be assured that whatever stays here, whatever is shared here, stays here.
Yeah. Well, we in the Barbados Society of Psychologists, we have what we call an ethics committee. It's a strong committee. They work hard. Our members are vetted as much as they can be. And we also work under the aegis of the Paramedical Professions Council in Barbados, who look after ethics for all paramedical or allied health services. And we work closely with them. So that's from a point of view of making sure we have upstanding people in the profession, one, and our code of ethics for confidentiality is upheld. We can discipline our members if it is found that there is, one, a breach in confidentiality or any inappropriate behavior, because that's another thing that's very, very important to us as psychologists, that we maintain that cordiality and that sense of respect and regard for each other, client and psychologist.
Right.
So it is important. Ethics in any form or fashion It's very, very important to the society.
Yeah. And I think what's important for the public to know is that there is, in terms of a whole sharing of information, and I speak on the correction, but it's different when you're dealing with a child as opposed to an adult. Because once, yes. So can you just speak to that?
Briefly? Definitely it's different when you're dealing with a child and an adult. And just like you have a pediatrician and a medical doctor who would see a family physician or a specialist, in, as I spoke of these varying subfields in psychology, we do have psychologists who specialize in dealing with children and adolescents, specialize in couples therapy, specialize in familial therapy, specialize in bipolar and all the other mental disorders, in interventions for those two people. Remember, we talked of medication, and I say we don't give medication, but there are many other things we can do help persons cope.
You've been in this field for 48 years, from what I read. Can you give us some idea, which is a long time? And I think Barbados is very fortunate to have a relatively large number of psychiatrists and psychologists. I actually one day, a couple of years ago, started to make a list because, you know, I know many people who have stressors with children, whether young or young adults. And sometimes we just don't know where to turn or how to navigate the system. What sort of issues do your clients present with just generally? And I will say more specifically during this COVID era.
Let me first correct you in that. Yes, I've been in the field of education and psychology for 48 years.
Okay.
The first 8 years, I was a teacher. The next 10 years, I spent becoming a mommy and staying at home with my children and retooling myself and studying again. And then for the last 26, 27 years, I'm a psychologist. So it's a long process, but it's there.
Yes.
So yes, to answer your questions, what kind of things? I think you have two questions that you sent to me that I looked at. And the truth is, it's difficult. Life is not easy. Life is difficult. The most frequent issues that came up to me, if you want to talk the last 2 years, could be finances, loneliness, and the exacerbation of any previous mental issues that maybe were not attended to before, or they were not satisfied with what was going on, and the COVID kind of made it worse. There was a lot of, in my practice anyway, a lot of relationship issues, not only with couples, but with siblings and friends, having to be cooped up together. In the terms of couples, if it is a couple relationship or a marriage that was in trouble before, COVID only made it worse. If there was something salvageable in that relationship, here was a chance to try and salvage it, but they were not always successful. You know, in the Caribbean, we have a lot of inside-outside relationships, and even those suffered. Even those suffered. Go on. You were going to ask.
You touched a chord there when you talked about, you said finances, loneliness, the exacerbation of previous mental health issues that were unattended to, relationship issues, couples, siblings. I mean, this is serious stuff. I mean, no wonder I discovered, and I think I shared it with you, that the PAHO WHO launched on Friday a high-level commission on mental health and COVID-19 to look at this issue globally.
Yes, that's a commendable thing. And what that is going to do, in my view, is to keep the mental health issues on the front burner. We can no longer sweep it under the carpet. It's here, It's happening, it's real, it's affecting 41% of persons worldwide. 30% of worldwide people seek help. So we want more people getting help. We want to fix this thing. 41% worldwide is close to 50. We don't want half of the global population having mental issues. Definitely. However, let me just say, mental issues could crop up anytime. It is not generational only. It is not going to happen over a period of time. It could happen today or tomorrow. Because we could blow a fuse, as we say in Trinidad. I don't know how they use that phrase here. But yeah, you might be the things seeding. Things are there that you don't deal with. And then when you become overwhelmed, that's it.
Yeah. If I could just share something very personal. I miss my dad tremendously. You know, I left here to work in Guyana on October 29th. Told him, you're going to see me sooner than you think, because I was planning to come home for my birthday. I started to work on November 1st. He died on November 3rd. When I returned home, it wasn't for a birthday. It was for his funeral. And I'm still dealing with that, you know. It's very real.
And debt is like that for us in the Caribbean. It's something that is difficult to find closure for some people. And COVID, I might say, has made that worse, because we were being locked out of funerals, et cetera, for all good reasons, mind you. But nevertheless, we were not being afforded the opportunity to get the kind of closure that a funeral service brings.
Of course. Last week, we had a caller who spoke about that, not being able to have that closure with many of her loved ones who had died. I too experienced a similar situation with a close colleague, and I can only think of our happy times together. And just to move on, in terms of navigating these various stressors, especially what would be called traumatic life events, things like death, incarceration, families, what we now call blended families, you know, and you know, people who may have been married twice and there are all of these children now coming together under a different type of family framework. How do you go about working with a client? I mean, in navigating and helping them to find happiness and
So it is a process. It's not come and I give you an injection and a dose of medication. You take it on your own for a week, and by the end of the next weekend, you're feeling better. Our interventions takes time, and it's a process. There will be an initial interview before we even set an appointment. Then when, from the information we receive, we determine if you are the professional or if I need to refer this person to someone else. It might be a child. It might be someone saying they want a male psychologist. It might be someone saying they want certain types of assessment to be done. So I will then refer, if they have called me, to those who can best do that. Once it's something I can do, then I will set up an appointment. At the appointment, you allow the client to articulate the problem, and the client and the psychologist come up with a best plan of action to help that client. Therapy can last for a minimum of 3 weeks at least, and sometimes it could be 6 months with a maintenance plan for 1 or 2 months visits to keep the client on track. Every client will need different interventions. There is no one size fit all in psychology.
Right.
Just like regular medication, what will fix your problem will not fix the other client's problem. So that's why I said at the beginning, it's a process.
Definitely. How do you deal with a client who you're going along nicely, you've done your assessment, you have a full understanding of the problems they're struggling with? The individual maybe comes for the first month, but then starts to fall off the wagon. When I say fall off the wagon, they stop coming for whatever reason.
Sadly, Tessa, that happens more often than you know. And the main reason will be finances. The main reason why they drop off, or they space out the therapy so that completing the sessions takes longer, which is fine. And that's why there are some churches that offer some free counseling, and it would be advisable to find out about those churches and get in there, those people who have issues with finance.
Okay. Oliver, should we have another break of music? My next selection is Reasons by Earth, Wind and Fire, one of my favorite bands.
And once again, we just need to remind you that today's program of Mental Health Matters comes to you with the kind compliments of Sagicor Financial Corporation.
Sometimes it feels the tears apart. Sometimes the darkest tonight turns into a day so bright, leaving the scars and the pain, everything that we fear behind us. Where there is life, let's keep on dreaming. Where there is love, let's find you deep in. Where there is hope, keep on being.
From Sagicor.
Feel I'm in the wrong place to be real.
Music from Earth, Wind, and Fire. With their classic called Reasons. Yeah. As once again, we say good afternoon to Mrs. Tessa Chatterton-Shaw. Good evening, ma'am.
Yes, Oliver, thank you. That music makes me happy and takes me back to my youth, even though I'm still 26. But I love Earth, Wind, and Fire. Anything but Earth, Wind, and Fire is good for me. I feel strongly about music that is timeless. Getting back to Dr. Ford, I want to talk about self-care. What tips, advice, or ideas would you give to our listeners about good mental wellness and self-care? And I need to say this. As a woman, sometimes when men hear about self-care, they don't necessarily get it. They think it's selfishness. How do you respond to this?
So which one you want first, the tips or the response to the men? And what they
well, let's talk
first
about,
of all, let me do the second question first. First of all, I don't agree with the statement that men think it's selfishness. I think generally some people do, not men only. I think even some of us think, I can't be so selfish. I have to do this. We see it as a luxury rather than a priority. So let me just get that out of the way. The men around me anyway know and understand and embrace that it is important for you to keep yourself whole. That there is this whole need for self-satisfaction. You don't do your hair because you want somebody to say you're looking nice. You do your hair so you could feel nice.
Yeah.
You know, I would say on that, self-care comes from love, while selfishness comes from fear. Fear and lack. You are afraid that you do not have enough time, money, and resources to take care of yourself. You're afraid that somebody will say, well, she ain't doing this and she's doing that. It's not about them. It's about you. You are too concerned with your well-being that you have no consideration for other people's well-being. And that might be the selfishness. But I think self-care is paramount to us and our physical as well as mental well-being. Self-care is considered a conscious act a person takes in order to promote their own physical, mental, and emotional health. So it's something you have to want to do and think about doing. And it doesn't have to be always something you pay to do. You know, it's a huge part of what's missing in someone's life when you are busy and stressed. I know there's something going around on the social media where nurses say they've never met someone who is dying who say, I should have worked more or I should have saved more money. It's usually I should have spent more time with my family or on myself. Self-care is important because it has been proven over the years to reduce anxiety and depression. It reduces stress. It improves resilience. It improves happiness. It increases energy. It reduces burnout. And it does, in fact, increase interpersonal relationships. According to WHO, there are some specific ways that you can use self-care. You could get your pen and paper out if you want to write. But self-care really means knowing who you are and knowing your limits. Self-care means getting the sleep you need and knowing how to rest. I hear people say, I don't need a lot of sleep. But you do. Your body rejuvenates itself when you sleep. Now, I'm not saying sleep too much. It's a big difference. Sleeping too much and sleeping adequately is two different things.
Right.
Self-care means making sure you are well-fed. And what do I mean by well-fed? I am not talking about gorging or eating the same type of food every day. I'm saying have a well-balanced diet with well-spaced meals and making sure that you are getting the necessary nutrients that you should be getting. Self-care means finding ways to decompress during the day. Oh, I don't have that time for Dr. Paul. My work is so stressful. Get up from the computer, walk to the lunchroom, walk outside. Those who still smoke, walk outside to smoke. You are looking after yourself. You walk outside too. Take that 15-minute coffee break, even if you don't want to drink the coffee. Go and drink water. You know, we like to say, I will work through my coffee break and I will work through my lunch hour. No. Don't do that.
Yeah. That's interesting because I think I have done that much too long in my working life. Work through lunch.
Yeah. And then there are difficult situations every day at home and at work. Tackle them. Deal with them. Get it changed. Talk to your bosses.
Yeah.
Businesses, one of the upside of COVID, I would say, businesses have become a little more worker friendly.
Yeah.
Either because they realize that they can't do without some of us. Yes, some of them have downsized because they realize they can do without some of us. But talk to your bosses. You'll be surprised. You might get something to relieve that difficult situation. Self-care means getting time to know you better. Learning and recognizing your own temperament. The things that will make you pop. The things that will make you feel underwhelmed and overwhelmed and not sure about yourself. Self-care means enjoying, identifying what you enjoy and doing more of it, having fun with it, even if it is work sometimes. Make a serious effort to integrate your day with some health techniques, whether it's going and breathe out, breathe in, breathe from your diaphragm, but taking care of yourself. Self-care means knowing how to have a spiritual life. I'm not saying become a devout Catholic like I am.
Yeah.
If religion is your thing, do it.
Yeah.
Whatever, singing, music, dancing, believing in the martial arts, Tai Chi, meditation, listening to the waves. In Barbados, we are blessed. We don't have to play a tape recording of waves beating on the beach. We can walk next to the beach.
That's true.
So we are really blessed that we can do self-care for free. Self-care really means taking time to love you and appreciate you. The only person who can do that is you.
Yeah. Deanne, thanks for that. Very comprehensive information. And I think one of the takeaways from your response is that self-care doesn't have to cost.
No.
It could be a walk in the park. It could be, in my case, right now, my Jack Russell just came into my room and he has a way, he knows exactly where to find me and he has a way of calming me down.
Yeah.
You know,
could be a pet too, of course. Yeah. It could be
a pet. Taking care of pets. It could be a walk, it could be a swim. It doesn't necessarily mean a spa day that might cost you $250.
Yeah, doesn't have to be that at all.
Right. Deanne, Oliver's telling me we have a lot of callers and I think we may have to pause. So, Oliver?
Certainly, ma'am. As we say good afternoon to the caller, good evening and welcome to Mental Health Matters.
Peace be unto each and everyone. A blessed and happy Mother's Day to each and everyone, and to your beautiful ladies there. Mrs. Shaw, thank you very much for this wonderful information. And I hope and pray that it will continue because we've learned a whole lot. And that lady, she says so much just now to encourage a lot of us. I cannot take stress, so I like to be on by myself. And I think that I antisocial or anything, but I cannot take stress. So just like what she said, you don't have to spend money on certain things, but you can do the natural things, normal things to, you know, keep yourself comfortable and happy. And I thank you for that, and I wish you all a blessed and a happy Mother's Day. And I hope and pray that you will continue to get sponsors, that you can come along. This week was teary eyes for me, because my mom is deceased. My great aunt who nurtured and raised me, she's deceased. And you know what really hurt me a lot? We lose a lot of our elderly people. I got news from one of my neighbors not long ago that her father-in-law passed away. And I know there may be many more in this country that passed today, but what really pained me is a few of the elderly that were close to me that died with COVID. And I will always say, no one wasn't there to hold their hands, you know, nor to say a last word to them. And today I was, especially when I heard these songs, and I sent songs for my friends and them, especially those who parents are gone. And I know today who ate already and who will be eating later on, the table will be empty with their loved ones. And it really hurt me. And the thing is that when it first started, they were burned. Then you couldn't see them, but thank God. And I would always say that to the blessed gentleman who decided to put the glass, that you can see a loved one before the last. Thank you very much, Michelle. And I pray that people will continue to bless you, that you can bring this here so that people can reflect on not be stressed. You don't have to be mad to be stressful, but to help encourage us that, you know, it isn't only us. It is only them who dealing with mental health. You know, you are giving us the encouragement. So thank God for you, and bless this station for letting you, you know, to talk to the nation. God bless you all, and stay safe. Stay blessed. Thank you.
You too. Well, I want to thank you for your kind comments. I think it's also important to recognize that days like Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, you know, those special family times, birthdays, when we have lost loved ones, like Father's Day is not the same for me, because I no longer have my dad. And I think it's important to recognize that. Deanne, any comments?
Yes, thank you, caller. And you are right. It's not about madness at all. You know, some very creative people who invent things, people who dream up things, come from a point of sheer frustration and not getting things done and becoming overwhelmed and nobody understanding their thinking processes. Sometimes some of them might find or have a diagnosis of being bipolar, because, you know, we have those, the up ends and the down ends of that. But some psychosis can be good. We have seen, we know history of some people who were really not well, but did some fantastic things, invented music, invented different things that we are using. So it's not about only madness, it is about life. And as I said in one of the segment sessions, that this whole mental health issue could crop up overnight, because we live every day and we live in the now, and things can happen on the spur of a moment.
Okay, Deanne, we have another caller on the line.
Good evening and welcome to Mental Health Matters. You are on air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, hello.
Good
evening. Happy Mother's Day to you all.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah, I have three questions. The first one is a psychologist, a medical doctor. I tune in late, so I don't know if you answer the question. Right? The second one is, does a psychiatrist prescribe medicine or a psychologist? And my last one is, what is the difference between psychotherapy and psychotherapist? You have that?
Well, yes, caller. We answered all of these questions earlier, except specifically the one, number one.
Mm-hmm.
A psychologist does not study medicine as a psychiatrist does. A psychiatrist is a medical doctor first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go on to study the specialization of psychiatry. Okay. A psychologist, on the other hand, starts with an undergrad degree in any field close to or related to psychology, but they must do a master's degree in specific psychology, forensic, clinical, counseling, any one of the disciplines, behavioral, organizational psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to say this earlier. In the Caribbean, we register people with specialist master's degree in counseling, educational, and clinical psychology as psychologists. But globally, they are called therapists or counselors. Now, to be called a doctor in Barbados or even worldwide, you must do a doctor of philosophy in psychology or related psychological field, or a doctor of psychology, which is called a PsyD, and one is called a PhD.
Okay.
I don't know if that cleared you up. The question of medicine, psychiatrist. Yes, the question of medicine. A psychiatrist, as part of his training, studies pharmacology. A psychologist does not. However, the military does allow some psychologists, under the guidance of a psychiatrist, to administer medication.
Miss Undecided, sorry, we answered a lot. Dr. Ford answered a lot of these questions already. I'm sorry you didn't listen from the beginning, but I have to be mindful of the time. Did she cover all of your questions?
Well, that's why I don't know. She answered this one. I wonder how many years do you have to study to be a psychologist? She answered that before?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
All right.
It all depends on you. To be a therapist or a counselor, it could be 5 years. To do the full thing up to PsyD or PhD, it could be 7 to 8 years.
Okay.
Because you have to do some internship.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening.
We have another caller.
Good evening and welcome to Mental Health Matters. You're live on air.
Good evening and good evening to all your guests. What is bipolar?
Sorry, I didn't.
What is bipolar?
Well, the jury is still out. It's there. I wish I had a psychiatrist in the program to give you a specific answer. But a bipolar is when someone presents with a mental illness. I would have to say where things, they have what we call in psychology, highs and lows. And in the lows, they are very, very bad. Nothing is happening to them, for them, and about them. And in the highs, everything is perfect. Life is wonderful. And that's where the bi comes from. You go from one extreme to the next. And there are issues along that continuum that each person will present with at a different time. And Tessa can help me with this answer. Sometimes what is helping you on one end of the spectrum of bipolar, medicine-wise, does not help you on the other end of the spectrum. Go ahead, Tessa.
Yeah, I know about this only too well. There is bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. It runs along a spectrum, as you said, from severe and prolonged sadness and depression to the other extreme of mania, the person being manic, and everything in between. Bipolar can be congenital, I think in terms of it being a family trait, a genetic trait. I know someone very close to me who was diagnosed at 15, and there are many people in this country who have either bipolar 1 or 2. One tends to be more manic depressive, the other mother is, you know, what they call, I'm using very technical terms, labile. So moods are very erratic and unstable. So on any given day, you're not sure whether you are going to have a happy person or a very sad person. Now, having said that, all of us have our ups and downs, our highs or lows, our happy days or sad days. But we're talking about prolonged depression, prolonged feelings of sadness, withdrawal from on one end to racing thoughts and mania at the other end. So I hope I've answered your question. Too often, though, I feel very strongly about this, people throw this word around, he or she bipolar, he or she must be bipolar. We need to be very sensitive about the language we use, because some of the very people we might be labeling or insulting, they might actually be, might actually have that disorder. So caller, have we answered your question?
Seems like they have hung up.
They have gone?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So, Oliver, how are we doing for time?
We are just about out of time. 17 minutes past 4 o'clock.
I just, there is one final question I have.
Question 16. Board,
mm-hmm. And then we'll play the last selection, Perfect Symphony by Ed Sheeran and Andrea Bocelli. But I want to ask you this. It is very clear that as this pandemic has affected us all, certainly affected our mental health and our relationships, do you see any light at the end of the tunnel in terms of people being given the permission to openly discuss their stresses? Are psychologists and psychiatrists more sought after now than ever before?
Yes, definitely. That's a big yes. A big yes, especially look at this same series that you are running right now. This is one great example. So thank you to you again, and thank you to your sponsors. To me, we have to look at what did COVID really bring to us? Did it only bring the COVID-19? I don't think so. I think if we look, that we tended to connect more. Persons who could not really articulate their feeling to deal with their mental issues found a way of coming out and talking about it. I think talking more about mental illness as is exacerbated by COVID has caused more people to recognize that there's no harm in seeking help to rationalize certain situations, your loss of job, you're working from home, things like that. I mean, children in school, I think, are really getting, in fact, they have been impacted the worst because it's hard. Children have been in school for 2 years without having seen their friends, except for this semester when they went back out. Let's look at what really brought this whole COVID thing to the head. Oh, the shutdown, the this, the that. But what did we get from it? For me, it's cleaner restaurants. Definitely cleaner restaurants. A greater opportunity to bond with our family members, even if it was virtually. We have seen less of the original flu that rampages us at this time, because people have been more careful about where they sneeze, how they sneeze, what they touch. Maybe what is the businesses, as I said earlier, have become more friendly. They have been more mindful of what's going on even in their own businesses as it relates to members of staff. You see, the sad thing in this whole thing though, how many of these good habits are we going to keep? And this is where COVID would have come in vain if we lose those good habits. Many small businesses might have shut their doors, it's true, but a lot of businesses have also blossomed within the COVID. So let's look at what is good about having had the experience of COVID, because we can't wipe it away. It's here, So we have to embrace what is good about it. And I look forward to this new PAHO mandate, this model commission, the commission, the results of that commission, because I do feel it is important for us to recognize that the pandemic has created an opportunity for strengthening and improving mental health using transformational approaches to build back better and fairer. And that is from the PAHO mandate for this new commission that they have launched.
Yeah. There's Oliver, just please give me a minute. I need to just mention this. And this is very painful, but I think very real. Given the fact that children have not been in school, parents, you know, our lives have been cap-spraddled. There have been situations, I certainly know of one, where very young children who have been left unsupervised have been sexually abused. I'm not going to highlight the location or certainly the names, but this is, I mean, I just have no words to describe it. Sexual abuse of three girls by a boy in secondary school who's also a minor. How do we tackle this? Where does one begin?
Well, you know, Tessa, that was a problem long ago. When I started into my whole foray about domestic violence in 98, it was a problem then. And we were asking for legislation then. I was working under the aegis of UNIFEM at the time. You know, what is strange, and during COVID, we saw an increase of almost 10 to 15% of incest and sexual molestation, yes, among teenagers, on minors, elementary school children, on uncles and aunts, grandfathers, and different male persons coming to the house under the guise of helping the children. So I am glad the children are back in school. I am very glad that they are back in school, because at least they will have the protection of the teachers. But how are we going to deal with the whole situation of childhood abuse? That's a whole other day, a whole other show, because it's not going to stop with 2 minutes talking about it. All I'm going to say, it's bad out there, and we have to be more vigilant with the young children.
But adults who are aware of this situation also need to speak out and not be ashamed to speak out and address it.
And I think with the whole mental health thing coming out to the fore, this should come out.
Definitely. Dr. Ford, I really want to thank you for a very engaging discussion this afternoon. You've been very frank, very honest with us in sharing your experiences and also looking at the positive aspects of COVID. I mean, you talked about cleaner restaurants, cleaner facilities. I mean, hand washing is critical right now. I just have to say sincere gratitude to you. And again, thanks to our sponsor, Sagicor, and to VOB. And next week we have Jomo Phillips, who does couple therapy, couples counseling with couples. So another member of the Barbados Society of Psychology. So I want to say goodbye. And again, those of you who are, you know, mothers and sisters, and enjoy what's left of Mother's Day. Let's take it away, Oliver, with
thank you, Tessa. It was my pleasure.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Oliver.
25 minutes after 4 o'clock in beautiful Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. And this edition of Mental Health Matters came to you with the kind compliments of Sagicor Financial Corporation.
Sometimes it feels that tears apart are the ones that unite us and bring us closer together. Let's find you deep. Where there is hope, keep on believing. Keep on.
A message from Sagico.